and welcome to our AA meeting on air on 104.6 Planet FM. My name is Jennifer. I'm an alcoholic and I will be chairing our meeting this morning. Would you like to help open this meeting with the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Please welcome our speakers today, Miria, Jeff, and Anna, who will be sharing their experience, strength, and hope with you all. The Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, political organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. So starting off the sharing this morning, we have Miria. Welcome to the show, Miria. And please, if you'd like to open our meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. Kia ora, I'm Miria. I'm an alcoholic. I guess, you know, my story starts, I was brought up in an alcoholic family, grew up with the chaos of alcoholism around me, and I can recall as a child thinking that I was never going to be like that. But inevitably, as soon as I could, and I think I was about 10 or 11, I picked up my first glass of drink and it was my solution to all my problems. I'd grown up feeling like I didn't fit in anywhere. And that first drink I had was like my solution. And so pretty much I kept drinking through secondary school, got expelled from school, and went on to carry on drinking. Alcohol gave me the, it made me, I went from being a very shy, not fitting in person to, as soon as I picked up that drink, I was the centre of the universe. I could party and have fun and joy and it was certainly my answer until it wasn't anymore. And you know, over a period of time, I went on, I got married, I had children, and for a period of time I didn't drink. I got involved in a church, but that didn't work out very well for me, so I picked up the drink again, and you know, suddenly my life was back on track. Until it wasn't, until, the alcohol became everything. It mattered more than my children. It mattered more than my work. And I like to think that I was a functioning alcoholic. I worked in, funnily enough, although actually it wasn't funny, I worked in health and social development areas where my work was around helping other people. So I would spend my days at work doing that and go home and get myself absolutely drunk, falling down, couldn't even be a functioning mother. So this carried on for quite a while. You know, I guess when I look back, I'm really fortunate because I had members of my family who did the geographical to the South Island, and one brother in particular did a treatment program down at Queen Mary. He did the Taha Māori program and came home to us, and we were all sharing our what we thought was our highlights of our life, and in talking with my brother after him doing treatment, we actually started having really honest conversations about what our life really was like. And then not long after that, I'd had two daughters by that time. I then had a son, and my drinking kicked in again really badly. I had an older brother and my sister-in-law come visit, and my children were home by themselves while I was out drinking. My brother took my son off me and warned me that if I didn't do something about my drinking, he'd come and take my daughters as well. And so luckily enough, with my brother that was still down in the South Island, I'd like to think he guided me to the treatment centre, but actually he gave me a big long lecture about getting down there. So I went and did the Taha Māori program down in Queen Mary, and and it was the beginning of me finding the solution for my life. I really loved that program, really was honest with myself while I was there, but when I came back to South Auckland and I went into my first AA meeting in South Auckland, it was full of men. I didn't feel like I fitted in there, and so I had, I had all of this stuff running around in my head that, no, maybe I'm not an alcoholic. I'm able to fix myself and I don't need this program. But I kept going to meetings, and then I finally started listening. They call it taking the cotton wool out of your ears and putting it in your mouth, and that's exactly what I did. And I started to hear the solution. I started to hear these men that I thought that I didn't fit in with telling my story. But not only that, they were telling me the solution. So finally I got really honest with myself, and I think it was at that point that I absolutely admitted I was an alcoholic and my life was unmanageable. I went on and I stayed in AA for 5 years, and once again I thought I'd recovered. And so and by that time I'd had a sponsor. My sponsor had moved up the far north. I'd had a really tight group of friends, and they had kind of moved other places as well. So I stopped going to AA meetings. I stopped going for 15 years. But, you know, I always believed that there was a spiritual something that was looking after me, because for that whole time I didn't pick up a drink. One thing I learned in AA while I was there was that the fear of picking up that first drink. And so I didn't, you know. And the thing about my life was I'd had family die of this disease. My father was an alcoholic and he died from alcoholism. I used to party regularly with a cousin of mine who I loved dearly. She had died in a car crash at 35. So, you know, I think that instilled in me that fear of my first drink. So for the time that I wasn't in AA, I didn't pick up a drink, but I was looking for all kinds of solutions to fix my life still. And then finally, things started happening in my life and I came back into the program. So my sobriety date is the 20th of April 1997. And I'm just really, really grateful that I came back into this program. And I am a grateful alcoholic, because I live a completely different life now. That son of mine that I lost, he also found this program. He got clean and sober in New York, and he's just celebrated 8 years in sobriety. So I've got such a lot to be grateful for. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mary. It was really, really lovely to hear from you today. Now, next up, we've got Jeff. Jeff, would you like to join us now and share your experience, strength and hope with us?
Sure. Thank you. My name is Jeff and I'm an alcoholic. excuse me, I was born in the Waikato in a fairly loving family, you know, with mother and father and sister. My parents used to like to party a lot, and you know, a lot of their lives revolved around drinking. That was sort of the that was the highlight of their week, and their lives was sort of drinking and partying. And as a young person growing up and viewing that, you know, I idolized that, and I wanted to be just like them. So, you know, at around the age of 14, I started sneaking alcohol. It was always easy to get. You know, there was always heaps in the house and in the shed and around the place, and I would sneak it and drink. And pretty much from my early days of drinking, the first time I touched it practically, I would drink till blackout, and just lose all, you know, I couldn't control what I'd do once I got to that state. And once I started drinking, I could not put it down, or two or three. I had to continue until I was blacked out, you know, and people would say to me, you know, that's enough. But literally, you know, I would fight to, or do whatever I had to do to carry on drinking. No one could sort of stop me. And that sort of, it got to a point where they either gave up or, they were too scared to, you know, and it had a massive sort of effect on my emotional well-being and my self-esteem, and all of that mental stuff. I drank over that period from the age of 15 to about 30, and in the last 5 years of that drinking period, you know, I was blacking out every night, drinking and driving, you know, being violent with people. Getting into heaps of trouble, crashing cars and doing all sorts of silly things that I used to wake up the next day, with remorse and regret and a lot of self-hate, from what I was doing, you know, fighting with family who I loved. And it was just a world of chaos. And I guess really, it got me to a point where I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. So, after about the 10th ultimatum, with my wife, I ended up, you know, deciding to go into AA to get some help. And I sort of hung around, that was roughly back in the early 2000s. I hung around for about 6 months and, you know, thought to myself I could do this on my own. And so I did for about 9 years, you know, without the program and the people and all it offers. But I become a bit of a dry drunk, you know, like I was still angry and irritable and discontent. I hated the world and had resentments against everyone because they could sit there and drink and put it down after 2, 3, 4, or 5, or 6. You know, whereas I couldn't, and I was highly twisted and jealous and resentful, you know. But, after sort of 10 years of that period of living like that, pushing people away, I thought that AA didn't work for me. And, I thought, well, the only answer, you know, is to try and drink again. So I did, you know, and as I've learnt in the rooms of AA, alcoholism is progressive, and it was for me, you know. It was 4 or 5 nights later after that first drink, I ended up in the cells in Hamilton, facing, you know, what for me were some pretty sort of heinous charges. But luckily enough, that scare made me realise that I had to get back into the rooms of AA, take the cotton wool out of my ears and put it in my mouth and start listening. And, you know, the doors swing both ways, you know, like, no one tries to hold you in AA or keep you there, you know, like you've got to sort of, instigate yourself, I guess, to get in there and, you know, do some work on yourself. But, at the same time, you know, everyone in there is sort of, there's a warmth and a love I can't describe. And, you know, as a rule, people were sort of, they're open arms and really happy to see you, you know. A bit of a journey. I guess it's sort of given me a life beyond my wildest dreams now, you know. It's, I'll be coming up 8 years clean and sober, in next May, so. Life is great. I have a network of, really sort of good, healthy people, around me, and I've made, you know, the best friends I've ever made, in my entire life. You know, we go out for coffees and catch ups, and, you know, go to fish and chips together, do a little bit of fishing, do all sorts, jump in cars and travel to different meetings. It's, all of that stuff with sort of my greater AA family are really the highlights of my life nowadays. And, I'm blessed to have it, you know, from being an angry guy that everyone hated to now sort of rebuilding my life, and rebuilding relationships with my family and forming new relationships, which I had absolutely no idea on how to do. Once I'd sort of exited drinking, I had to relearn all of that stuff. I lost identity, didn't know who I was. But, you know, now I couldn't be happier. You know, it takes a bit of work, making yourself sort of have a real good look at yourself. But the rewards are just so tenfold. I can't describe it. It's a miracle, really, to be alive and, be part of this program. Highly grateful. Thank you. That's me.
Oh, Jeff, it was really lovely to hear from you today. And again, thanks to the team for taking the drive up from the Waikato to join us for this morning's program. So, and I've managed to just fill in that minute we were short, so we'll keep going now. So, Anna, would you like to join us and share your story, please?
Yeah, thanks, Jen. Good morning. My name's Anna, and I'm an alcoholic. My story... I started drinking at an early age in my teens, which I thought at the time, well, most teenagers do, don't they? They experience alcohol, and I thought that was just a phase I was going through. I remember being at school at 15, getting drunk in my fifth form year, and I was still in my school uniform and was violently ill and was picked up by my school dean down at the public toilets in Newmarket. And that was something that sticks with me to this day. But at the time, I didn't think it was a problem. I never paid heed to any disease that I might have had. My dad's an alcoholic, and I grew up with him and saw where the consequences of his drinking took him. And I remember thinking as a young girl, I don't like my father for that. I never want to be what he is. And sure enough, I became him. It wasn't just the drinking. It was just everything about us, our defects, our characters were very similar. So as I started drinking more into my 20s, which again, there were really fun times and good times with my girlfriends, going to nice places. And I had a good job and, you know, I still had a problem drinking then. I knew I was probably having a bit too much. Everyone around me said, try and slow down. I started to become mindful of it, but I just kind of laughed it off. It wasn't till later in my 20s, mid-20s, I developed pancreatitis, which is a shocking pain in the stomach, which requires hospitalisation. I didn't know at that time then that I'd be suffering that for the next 20-odd years with regular visits to hospital through my drinking and caused by my drinking. In 2007, my first... I guess you could say intervention was with my manager at my work, who everybody could see where I was going and something wasn't right with me. I'd lost a lot of weight. I was red-eyed. I was aware of drinking wine and coming to work reeking of alcohol. I tried to shy away from people. It's like I knew deep down inside what I'd become, and I wanted everyone to stay away from me. My manager said, "Would you like some help?" And I said to him, I burst into tears and said, "I can't stop drinking and I need help." And the relief I felt from that, to be able to open up to him, who was not an alcoholic, but who had enough empathy and compassion to understand that I needed help, was a beginning. So I went off to rehab for 4 weeks. And looking back now, with all due respect to the director there and the people that ran it, they mentioned alcoholism, they talked about AA, and we went to meetings, but for me, I seemed to just focus on the fact that it was the physical drinking itself. I didn't pay heed to the disease that I was going to be carrying with me when I left rehab after 4 weeks. So I went back to work, terrified of alcohol, terrified to drink, knowing in my mind I can't drink again, but I'll just get back to work. Thanks for the information. I think I know what I need to do now. And because of that and not following what was suggested to me in rehab, it wasn't before long before I picked up the alcohol again. Only this time I said to myself, it will be different. Now I know that I've got to be careful. And I continued drinking for 13 more years, getting sicker and sicker. I had isolated at that stage because when I came to rehab, I thought by getting rid of everything in my life, the people, the places, the horrible places I'd resorted myself to going to, that somehow my life would be better. That didn't change who I was. It did not change my drinking. It just put me in a different environment. So I realized the consequences of my drinking was not going to fix or change anything. So I continued drinking, and it wasn't till I'd literally had enough and I was sick and tired, and I was at that point where I didn't want to drink anymore. I hated it. I hated myself for what I'd become. I didn't want relationships anymore. I had no friends left, and that was okay with me because I didn't feel worthy by then. I didn't have anything to offer anyone. There was a lot of self-pity, but at the same time, I knew deep down that just maybe I had something to give if I was a better person or a weller person. So I ended up in AA 7 or 8 years ago, and I knew I was an alcoholic, and I was happy to admit that to myself. But what I didn't understand was that my life wasn't manageable. When I still held a job, I paid the bills, I fed my cat, you know, I got up in the morning out of bed, I couldn't see that. To me, I was still managing somehow on the outside, on the externals. But when you're withdrawn and you're isolating and you can't face relationships and you can't face yourself anymore and you're feeling anxious 24/7, I wasn't manageable. There was nothing manageable about me on the insides. And it wasn't until I accepted that part that I realized, okay, now I do have to surrender. I really do want help and I have to accept defeat. And that was the first step for me. So I'm very grateful I came into AA when I did. I've heard a lot of the yets, and I was lucky and fortunate and blessed to hold on to a job, to still have my family acknowledge me, to have a roof over my head. This program has given me personal rewards, to be able to get my driver's license, to be able to drive a car, to be able to travel, to be able to get a relationship back with my family again. They are all personal rewards this program has given me. But what I don't want, the biggest reason I stay in AA isn't just because I don't want to drink anymore. I don't want to live with a troubled mind. You know, all those years of drinking, they came with consequences. It was more than problematic. But at the same time, even the moments that I was sober, I couldn't understand why I was so miserable with life. So for me, I knew deep down once the alcohol had gone, there had to be something else. And all the clothes in the world, all the reaching out for men and trying to find something to fix me, to make me want to not drink, they never existed. They weren't there. They weren't grounding factors that were going to enable me to live a life happily or to find any sort of serenity. And I'm glad I tried that and found that that didn't work. So the only thing that works for me today is to have a program in my life which keeps me sober, because I have to stay spiritually fit every day. I want to find peace and pass that on to people that don't have any hope, because it can be done. And I'm grateful I've got a way of life now. and I've gained a lot back from my family. So I did hear a message the other day that sobriety is your family looking at you and trusting what they see. And I hope I've earned their trust back and continue to do that for me and my family. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Anna. Again, great to hear from you today. So, look, that's all we have time for. So I'd like to thank Miria, Jeff and Anna for joining us in the studio today and to all of you for listening. We are on air Sunday at 10:45 a.m. here on 104.6 Planet FM. If you or anyone you know is in need of help from AA, please either call AA 0800 AA Works, that's 0800 229 6757. I'll just repeat that, 0800 229 6757, or visit the AA website, www.aa.org.nz, where you can find a raft of information. And finally, you can find today's recording and others on the Planet FM website, www.planetaudio.org.nz, under the program name AA On Air. So finally, please join me now in closing this meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you.